Good to be here. Good to be here. Good to be here. That Sunday school lesson. I told him he had to be following me around. That's all there is to it. That's terrible. Brother. Oh, man, that's good. I need it. I need it. If my wife ought to say amen, amen, amen to that, and that's for sure. You get behind those folks on the highway, and I tell Mom, I said, it's probably some old man. And then drive by and say, yeah, I see there. We're awful. I am. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good. I needed that. I'm so glad for the resurrection. I'll tell you what, one day. I'm looking forward to getting out of here. But you know that's what's that little?
Now, the dog can move this up. She's worrying about it. Straight as soon as not working. Move it up about 6 inches.
Okay, I'll do it. Oh, my. in here, on that first page over here, where the memory verse for April is, where it says, the resurrection of Christ is the amen of all his promises. That's really it. That's a good one. The resurrection of Christ is the amen of all his promises. Without that, there's nothing. It's like the beginning of your Bible, which says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If it wasn't for that, the rest of it's in vain, you know, really. If you don't believe that, well, you're sunk. This is not exactly a resurrection message. We've heard the songs about the resurrection. I like that. Well, that brings tears to your eyes. Think about what he did for us. Thank God. But if today, if you'll turn your Bible to the book of Philippians, a real familiar thing, but the Lord laid this on my heart a while back. I've been studying on it. I hope it'll be something that'll help you, because it has helped me. I need all the help I can get. We'll begin reading in chapter 3. We'll go down here. Start about verse 4. Paul talking about himself here, and he gives some different things that he's what he is and all that business. He says, verse 4, chapter 3, book of Philippians, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Isn't this something? Isn't that a sign? And you want to be honest with you, if you go back in the Old Testament and what Paul was doing, he is justified in what he was doing by the Old Testament. He really is. You remember, you know, hunting them folks down that was believing on Jesus Christ, all that stuff. He had it right in the Old Testament. It's quite a deal here. And that's what he said right here. Now look what he said. And the Lord didn't rebuke him concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And God didn't have him to erase that out. It's in there. That's the inspired word of God. But anyway, we're not dealing with that. All right. What things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, that's pretty good. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now that little thought there, right in the middle of that verse 10, the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul talked about dying daily. That's no doubt a key to living a life that's victorious for the Lord, is just dying every day. Now, I'm not talking about a physical death here. You know, it's a self, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, we've got some things down coming on our country, and I'm not going to deal, this is not going to be a negative type message. But we've got some things coming on our country that we're going to, I'm afraid, that suffering is going to be coming big time for very long. Yeah. How to deal with it? What are we going to do about it? What are some of the things on the horizon? I don't know whether any of you have read this little book here or not. If you got one just like this, Wormbrand's Tortured for Christ. And when he first wrote this, way back there, they didn't even have a New King James then. Oh, mercy. And they got New King James in this, which I'm sorry that they did that to the poor brother. But anyway, we met him and his wife in Atlanta in 75, I believe it was, 1975. And he and she give all of their books and everything to us signed, and we've loaned them around and so on. This is not one of them. I done give that in the way that we had. But I want to read something to you that's coming, and then we'll get right into what we're going to talk about that I hope and pray to God will be a help to you. Amen, really. All right. If you've read this little book, and which everybody I recommend, please, please read this book. Please, please. In chapter 1, there's a little heading there called The Seduction of the Church. And I know the pastor here, he knows these things clear too. And many of you do. Here, let me just read you this. Now, think about what's going on right now as I'm speaking, okay? Just think a minute. Now, don't you get involved clean over your head in this news business. You will go crazy. Don't do that. But the seduction of the church, that's the topic of this little paragraph. Once the communists come to power, we're almost there. If you want to look it up, I don't have it with me. There are 45 things that the communist goals were for America that were printed in 1963 and were read before Congress. And you can get them in your off of Google or whatever. That's where I got a copy of it from a brother that was teaching the Sunday school class up in Iowa. And many of the things I already, when I read that, I said, this is familiar. Different things that happened. Giving away the Panama Canal was one of their objectives. That happened in 1999. I remember when that happened. That was one of the objectives to get America and so on, you know, in the government. to rewrite history. That's been done. And so on and so forth. And not to teach history in school. Not the way we learned it. When I was in school, in our American history, one of the readings that we had to read was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. That makes the hair stand on your head. That's you talk about a message. But that was back in the 60s. So it's changed a great deal and so on up to now. So now just listen very carefully as I read this. Now this was him back. Way back there many years ago. And here's what he read. And I'll just read and shut my mouth. Once the communists came to power, they skillfully used the means of seduction toward the church. Now listen carefully. The language of love and the language of seduction are the same. The one who wishes a girl for a wife and one who wishes her for a knight both say the same words. I love you. I have never in all of my ministry of 50 some odd years ever saw so much on billboards. Love, 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 love. You ever notice that? You ever notice it? They have no idea what it even means. Sad. I'm not, but anyway, I said I was going to just read. Here we go. Jesus has told us to discern between the language of seduction and the language of love, and to know to know the wolves clad in sheepskin from the real sheep. Unfortunately, when the communists came to power, thousands of priests, pastors, and ministers did not know how to discern between the two voices. The communists convened a congress of all Christian bodies in our parliament building. There were 4,000 pastors, priests, ministers of all denominations, and these men chose Joseph Stalin as honorary president of this Congress. Anybody know anything about him? We'll not get into that either, but if you know, you do, and if you don't, I hope you'll learn a little bit. All right. At the same time, he was president of the world movement of godless and mass murderer of Christians. They don't tell it how many millions. All right. One after another, bishops and pastors rose and declared that communism and Christianity are fundamentally the same and could coexist. One minister after another said words of praise toward communism and assured the new government of the loyalty of the church. Here's where it comes in, you dear ladies and us men folks. God help us. They were sitting there, and here's what happened. My wife and I were present at this Congress. Sabrina, that's brothers, of course, they're both dead now and in heaven. But anyway, Sabrina told me, Richard, stand up and wash away this shame from the face of Christ. They're spitting in his face. I said to her, if I do so, you lose your husband. She replied, I don't wish to have a coward for a husband. That really happened. So what did he do? He got up and he preached Jesus Christ as the only way. Everybody was given an opportunity. And so he got up and he preached Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. And so on and so forth. In just a matter of days, they come to his house, carried him away, and he was in prison camps and all kinds of things, solitary confinement for I don't know how many. In other words, one simple short message, but had a wife behind him. Praise God and the Lord Jesus, and he stood 13 years. 13 years. And anyway. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that out this morning. We're headed that way wide open. Yes. With the pedal to the metal. And now what are we going to do about it? Well, here's in the Word of God, this is it. I'm not going to go up and march on Washington. That's not my place. I don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. I used to do that stuff. Yeah. You said, really? Yeah, I did. And the Lord said one time, and I don't mean he said an audible voice, but he dealt with me in my heart. He said, you need to read the book of Daniel and read the book of Acts with that in your mind. Because I just got a call because we're going to have another big rally. And so I said, I remember it. I read through Daniel. Daniel dealt with the powers that be. I read through the book of Acts. How that those men dealt with the powers that be, and I said, that's it. Yeah. I called the man and said, I won't be back. But anyway, so here we go. Now, what do we do? We stand for the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And, as we read right here today, notice what he said. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Now then, what about this? What about it? Well, let's just think about it just a minute. I'm going to just quote some verses here. I just got verses down here. And you think about it. Jesus said for you and I, if you're not saved today, you need to be born again. Yes, that's just all there is to it. Salvation is a gift of God. You can't work for it. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. You said, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. You said, where do you find that? 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians talks about that. All right. Now, Jesus says this to you and to me. He says, take up thy cross and follow me. Yeah. Now, what's it going to take for you and I to follow Jesus Christ? Yeah. Want to?
Yes, sir.
A dear friend of ours always kept this, and I've said it everywhere I go for years. And he said, if you want to serve Jesus Christ, you will. Say, if you don't, you won't.
That's right.
That's pretty basic, ain't it? But that's the way it is. God puts something in a man's heart, a woman's heart, a boy, a girl's heart, though, to get born again, that you want to please him. Do you have that?
Yes, sir.
I hope you do. I do. I hope you do. And he does. It's like a child wants to please mom and daddy. Babe, you know, I know they do all kinds of things wrong. Stuff like that. And we do. Anyway, Lord help us. And but deep down inside, we want to please God. We're born again. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. He lives in there. Let's just think about it. Where did Jesus go? What is the sum of the things that he suffered? Do you really, really, really want the fellowship of his suffering? That you might be conformable into his death? You really? Really? I want to tell you something. According to the life of Paul, and he's a good example in this. But, of course, Jesus is the main one. But I want to say what Jesus went through with. Paul's talking about here the fellowship of this suffering. Do you really want that? I have to admit that I like the straight line between two points. I don't like the bouncy roads. What a Sunday school class. And I ain't never going to get over that one. Woo, mercy. That's what we need, though. That's what I needed this morning. There ain't no doubt about it. And so we like the easy way out. Now, you may not. Now, you may like it rough. I'm not exactly a Green Beret or a... I'm one of them fellas that practice for all that stuff. I was through some military stuff, but I saw some of that training. I didn't exactly opt in. All right. So do you want this fellowship? It's costly. It costs a lot. How much does it cost? Everything. That's, you say, where are you getting this stuff? Just hang on. It costs everything. It costs Jesus Christ being first. And everything else lasts.
That's right.
So I just can't do it. Well, that's your choice.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll go on. Now notice. Forsake all. Not I. Paul talked about. Not I, but Christ. Remember that over there? Not I, but Christ.
Yes.
Woo-wee. The decisions that are made by the grace of God, that we would make a decision not to please our own selves, our own flesh. Boy, that is a hard one there to do. Woo-wee. Not my will, thine be done is a hard road to hoe.
Yes.
And I ain't telling you that I've attained that. Been saved for 58 years. It's been a battle all the way to where we stand right here. Have I attained? I wouldn't tell you no. I haven't. I can't tell you like Paul said over here. By the way, it's in right here in chapter 4. I got it wide open. Look at me right in the face, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of what, for I've learned it, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I want to be honest with you. I haven't got there yet. You see that? What a verse. You say, well, that's a good goal to shoot at. It is. It is. That's what we need. That's what I need. Paul talked about following him even as I also follow Christ. I can follow any man as long as he follows Jesus Christ. I'll tag right along. Amen?
Yeah.
You got a pastor here that loves you. You got a rare one.
Yes,
I'll be honest with you. I don't stay there everywhere we go. We go into some places, man alive, man. It's always good to get out of there. But I'm happy. I'm glad I can just say that without batting an eye. You got somebody that loves you and cares about you and searches that book so he can bring things to you. You said, how do you know all that stuff? I got a sack full of his CDs down at home that I listen to. I've listened to every one I've got. All but one of them there, and it didn't play, so I'm going to have to get another one when I get here. And so I got one in now. Ray checked it out. He said, check this. Be sure this one plays. And it does, and so on. Why? You said, well, you're old enough to be his father. Yeah? But he's got some things I have no idea about. I learn. Well, you be willing to learn? You want to get to the place where it says, and the fellowship of his sufferings? You see that? It ain't just suffering. It's sufferings. I'm not much in English, as you can tell by my speech, but I want to tell you what it's got that little S in there, it means more than one.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Amen, it is. So it's a hard road. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. Not I, but Christ, and it's costly. Deny yourself. Deny self. Deny father, mother, sister, brother, wife and everything and put Jesus Christ first. You said, Jesus for your wife?
Yep.
Yes, sir. I tell you, as long as my wife puts Jesus first, I have nothing to worry about.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I see her over there reading her Bible, and she prays. Praise God. Man, everything just fine. I want her to love Jesus more than she loves me.
Amen.
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 And as long as I love Jesus more than I love her, and that's a stretch of the imagination, because I see her, I don't see Jesus. But when it comes right down to it, what decision should I make if I have a choice between what my wife would think and what Jesus says? If I do what Jesus says and obey what he has to tell me, then I put him first.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. And so on. You say, well, where in the world? Go to your book if you want to follow along with these readings. That would be good. In the book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. All right. I'll start at 25. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if. There you go. See that big old word? That thing stands out. It just covers the sky. If any man come to me. And now then, this is where that we really have a spell here. Now hang on, hang on. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And, watch it, here it comes, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You say, what in the world? You said, you mean I'm supposed to hate my wife? Well, the Bible tells me to love my wife even as Jesus Christ loved the church. Then there's a contradiction in the King James Bible. No, there ain't no contradiction in the King James Bible. You say, what in the world does that mean then? Well, if you'll go over in your King James Bible to Genesis chapter 29, it will tell you. You said, I've got to go all the way back. Yeah, this book, my dear friend, it's like a puzzle. And if you leave a piece out, you'll get messed up. You'll get messed up. Go over to chapter 30, 39. I think maybe I would look at my... No, it's 29. I'm sorry. 29. I got it marked at the top of my Bible. 29. Now, you remember this? You remember Leah and Rachel? Remember? Now, watch how clear the Bible explains it. All right? Now, Jacob's having a time here. He worked 7 years. Years to get Rachel, and he ended up with Leah. I worked another 7 years, and he finally got 14 years of work to get Rachel. All right, now watch your Bible. All right. Then verse 29, it says, and Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, Bella, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved her also. Now watch it. And he loved also, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was, see that word? Hated. Now you say, what's the definition of hate there? In this instance, in this one right here that I'm reading, and I don't mean going no Greek, Hebrew, and all that junk. You got a King James Bible. You got everything God wants you to know. Is, now watch, that he loved Rachel more than Leah. That's what it says, right? And then the next verse he said, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. You say, what's that mean? That means that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. All right, what's it telling over here? I'm supposed to put Jesus first. I'm supposed to love him more than father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, and sisters, and so on. In other words, Jesus Christ first.
Amen.
Hate my wife? No. I'm supposed to love her like Jesus Christ loved the church. That's my goal. That's what the book says in Ephesians chapter 5. All right. You say, man, this stuff is rough. Yes, it is. But that dying daily business is rough stuff. This is not easy. Right, this ain't one of them, you know, you're not going to be carried to the sky on flower beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. No, 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 no. If you want to put Jesus Christ first, which by the grace of God, all of us has saved men and women, boys and girls, we need to put him first, not second and third and down the list. Well, if I get to it. Well, if I feel like it. Well, if I. Problem there. Big problem. Matthew chapter 16. I'll put a marker over here in this thing where I can get back to it in just a second. And we're not going to hold you all day here, but just let's look and follow a few little things here. Matthew, and then we'll go to something, and I hope it'll all clarify itself real easy. All right, look at your Bible in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And then again, here's what it says. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man, you know that God just leaves the door wide open. See, I said any man.
Right. Amen.
Isn't that good? God don't just look around and say, well, you know, he looks good. And she, if any man. And by the way, in the King James Bible, you all know this. Reading the context, it'll tell you when a lot of times when it's M-A-N, it's meaning men, women, and everything.
Right. Yep. Yes.
That's the way it is. What a book we got. But anyway, we'll brag about the Word of God. But anyway, the Bible says in then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, there it goes. See it? And take up his cross and follow me. You say, all right, what's his cross? Well, let me try to illustrate it this way. Old Brother McFadden, that's me. Lord have mercy. He wants to go this way. The Lord wants me to go this way. All right, I'm going to take up my cross and fix it dude, right now in this illustration. What am I going to do? I'm not going to go McFadden's way. I'm going to go Jesus' way. Let the chips fall where they may. Follow me, he said. He even said over in one place, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Go ahead. Well, somebody just passed away. What am I going to do about that, Lord? And I've got to be, you know, you want me down. What am I going to do? Well, send your best wishes and go the way God wants you to go. You say, what are people going to think? There's a problem. You understand, God's putting all that out there. The Lord will work things out on that kind of case. He does. All right, the Bible says another place in the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said unto them all. See there how this Bible clarifies itself? He said, if any man, then he says the word all. See, isn't it amazing? Matthew, he talks about if any man. Now in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, and he said unto them all, if any man, there it goes again, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Uh-oh, got it added a word in there, didn't he? Daily. And follow me daily. Daily. Well, I'm going to next week. Daily. How about today? How about this afternoon? What will the Lord have to do? It's going to be coming around church time tonight. Well, what should I do? Man, I feel like laying here on this bed and resting a while. I feel like, you know, sitting down on the porch. This whole body, man. Did it ever cross your mind that your body's your worst enemy you got? Did it ever cross your mind? Well, if it don't, the sooner you get that, boy, what a mess we are. All right. Put others first. Go with you. You're right there. Look at Luke chapter 14. This is quite a deal here. And this goes on every day of the week, what I'm fixing to read. All right? Most all of you know this, how that the a certain man, verse 16, and it said unto him, He unto him, a certain man, made a great supper and bade many. The invitation goes out. And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. This, I can't keep from laughing when I read these things. You know, these, you talk about stupidity. Buying ground they never looked at. Buying an oxen that they never had even plowed with. That'd be like buying somebody having a tractor on the swap shop. And they describe it real nice. And you go buy it and you find it's got 4 flat tires and everything else. And you pull the oil stick out and it's chalky gray because the block's been froze. You busted the... That's the situation. You see what I'm talking about? And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I married a wife. This is a gross one right here now. Boy, he don't love her, I can tell you already. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, that's amazing that all these folks here made excuses not to come to that great supper.
Yeah.
Somebody invites us to supper, you want to go, don't you?
Yeah.
Especially in the picture that he's showing here. This is great. This is the Lord God inviting us to come. And everything's ready. It's already been done. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. So all of you come. You ever hear all these? And by the way, you go out and you talk to folks, you're going to hear all three of these excuses.
Yes.
He said, no. Well, let's look at it a minute. Mm-hmm. I wrote down some stuff here. Hope it'll make a little bit of sense when you see it. I wrote down three things, and I've probably copied them from somewhere. But it says that one of them had something to see, one of them had something to prove, and one had something to love. But there's more to it than just that. They put their property, their possession first. Their work. That's what they have got them oxen. I want to prove them oxen. His job. His job first. Well, you know how it is, Lord. Man's got to make a living. I've heard that hundreds of times through the years of witness people try to get them to church. They'll say, well, you know how it is, preacher. Well, I don't know. But you say you're smart, Ellie. Yeah. They'll say, well, you know how it is, preacher. You know, a man's just got to make a living. And Sunday's the only time, and Saturday or whatever, Sunday's the only time I got to rest. Now, I don't understand that. You say, well, I'm bragging on Jesus Christ because he's the one that changed our innards.
Yes.
He'd come inside.
Yes, sir.
There was never a question. We got saved over here at Orange Shady Nook, not very many miles from here, back in the woods there. And Daddy, he got saved the night before I did. And we had never been to church a time in our life together. We've been a few times as boys, go down to Sunday school or something. We'd never been with Mom and Dad. I was almost 16 years old and went to a revival meeting. Dad got saved. Us boys, we got, you know, a couple of me and Danny got saved that time. And there's never a question after that. There's never been a question about should we go to church or should we not. It was never brought up in our home. It was never brought up. It was never brought up. I have never heard in my life of 58 years of being saved, we missed you Sunday.
Yeah. Amen.
I've had that told me from folks after that I'd called the preacher and said, I may have flu bug or whatever it is, and I'm afraid to come in. He said, you stay home. That's the way we ought to do it. Amen. You say, well, you're just bragging. I am, because Jesus Christ did that for us.
Yes, amen.
And if he did that for me, he died on that cross. He was buried. He rose again. He did all that for me. At least I can put him first,
yes.
Right? And I can't brag that I've always have. There's been times when, well, anyway, I mess up. That's all there is to it. All right. We need to get to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Now then, let's just skim a few things here, and I'm going to shut up. The fellowship of his suffering. Now, if you look in your Bible, and I'm not going to read all these verses. If you look over there in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, you're going to find right down at the end there of that chapter, Jesus Christ, my dear friend, is baptized of John in Jordan. Right? All right. And you're going to notice in verse 17, now that's not talking about salvation. You know, water baptism puts you in water, not into Jesus Christ. All right, now look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. All right, now, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, according to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, when you become a son of God, daughter of God, it's there is one place in the Bible where it talks about sons and daughters. But you that are saved, you women folks that are saved, literally, according to the Word of God, you're a son of God. I said, man, that's really something. Well, you got a man living in you. You said, what in the world? That's the Holy Ghost of God. He moved in. I hear these preachers sometimes. They say, boy, we had a good service Sunday. The Lord really come down. Well, I kind of understand the expression, but he don't come down. He's already in, if you're saved. And I'm not being a smart aleck. I have some good friends of mine. I said, well, glory to God. All right, now what takes place here? All right, now the Lord said, in whom I am well pleased. All right, now you watch what happens the next chapter. And it's the same with you. When you got saved, it's just like the devil said, well, let's get him. And the fight was on, right? And it's been on now for myself 58 years. In June it'll be 59 years since you got saved. You said, you mean he never leaves you alone? No, it gets worse as you get older. Attitudes, like the brother preached on this morning. I put a blade on the greater blade on the front of my car so I can push them folks out of the way. That wouldn't work good. You said, you actually think that kind of stuff? I hate to tell you. All right. You look in your Word, and you're going to find, my dear friend, that Jesus Christ here got the Word from the Father, I'm well pleased. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there was shouting and joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, is what the book said. All right, then the Bible says, now watch your Bible. Chapter 4, verse 1. What's next? What's that little word? Then. Ooh, what happens? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mm-hmm. Yep. Isn't that a sight? You say, well, what can I look forward to? That right there. You say, wait a minute, what does that mean? Well, let's go back to that one little verse I read a while ago in the book of Philippians, where that it said over there in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What happened? You get saved? You want the fellowship of his sufferings? You're going to have the devil on your track all the time. You got the world, the flesh, and the devil to deal with all the time. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Daily, hourly. And the only way that you're going to be able, and I'm going to be able to have the same problem you do, don't get me wrong, I'm not standing up here as a prime example. No. I'm a prime example of, I know how it feels to be tempted of the devil. And when you get older, it's different. I remember one time, in the flesh, we were just young, my wife and I, and we hadn't been, that was in 70. In the 70s, something like that. So that's been a long time ago. And we got this call one night about 9 o'clock, and this lady said, man, I need your help. Help, come. I want to ask you some questions. We got some business. I suspected something. So me and the wife, I brought the wife, said, let's go. I ain't talking to a woman by myself. And so we went up to this house and knocked on the door. She said, come in. My wife, I'd be sure she's right beside me. And I opened the door and she's coiled up in the bed. Remember that, Mom? He said, coil? Yes, coil. Well, anyway, when you're young, you're going to be faithful. But now when you get old, there's other things. Pride. That hits worse than any other time. I don't know what all. It's just one thing after another. But that lust of the flesh, you better watch it. Lust of the eye and the pride of life. But Paul said, I die daily. I count them all, but dung. That's what he said. You know what dung is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what you find out in the cow pasture. All right. That's what he said. You said, really? Yes, that's what he said. All right. And you're going to be questioned. You're going to be questioned. Now, if you look at, if you're right there and happen to be in Philippians, you go to your right in your King James Bible over to, go over to the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice what he says here. You're going to be questioned. And by the way, if you look in your Bible, when Jesus was just a young man, remember over there in Luke chapter 2? Jesus was a young man, right? Mm-hmm. And he, his mom and dad, and you understand when I say dad, wasn't his father. But you remember his mom and dad, Joseph, I'll put it that way, Joseph. They'd been about 3 days out and figured out, uh-oh, where's Jesus at? That's kind of badly for a parent. But anyhow, they went back and found him. What was he doing? They were doctors and different ones asking him questions. And you're going to be questioned.
Yep.
How come you go down to that church? It's a little. It don't even look like a church. Well, the church is not a building. If you want to know the truth,
right.
Amen, amen, amen. It's you. You make up the body. It's you that are the body of Jesus Christ. But anyway, well, that's another subject. Now, watch here in the book of. I sidetracked myself. I'm sorry. All right. If you didn't already know I was sorry, you know it now. All right. Look at your book in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 13. The book says, "And who is he that will harm you if he befollows that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you." Ooh, Peter, you talk like Paul. All right. Happy are you. What for? Suffering for righteousness' sake. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You see what we're talking about? We started out today. You say, "Well, boy, I'm scared of that bunch up there." And don't be scared. Fear not man. That's what the Bible says. Don't fear man. You said, "Man, they're doing things." Don't fear man. Fear God. You'll make it all right.
Yes, sir.
You said, "Well, they'll take you out and shoot you." Well, that's the reason why that I talked to a fellow that had been shot through. You say, "You're crazy." No, I wasn't that fail. He lived to tell it. And I said, I'd like to know how it feels. And he said, "Well," he said, it's just like somebody sticking a cigarette to you right quick. It's just a hot burning when that bullet goes through. Isn't it amazing? Well, anyway, so I believe I can stand that. This will be sure it ain't, somewhere where I have to suffer a long time. All right. Now, notice what he said. "But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready," "always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely worship your good conversation." Falsely, I'm putting words in there that ain't there. "Be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing."
Yes.
Isn't that something? You say, "What am I supposed to do?" I want to say this. You need to know enough of this book to tell somebody, "I was a sinner. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. I came to Jesus Christ as a sinner, and he saved me. And the Bible says, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." That's about all you need to know. There you start. Start right there.
Yep.
Start right there. Know that. Know that Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again. We're right back to that gospel again. And that Jesus died for you, and so therefore, you can tell others and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. That's what he said to do. That's what he said to do. All right. So you're going to be questioned. And like we said a while ago, right at the beginning of his ministry, the devil shows up. That's it right there. You find over there in the book of Matthew chapter 24, at the end of that, Jesus began his ministry saying, what did the first word out of his mouth? Baptists hate this word. Repent. That's what he said. Look at your Bible. You can find it over there. It's in Matthew. All right. So, and not only that, if you stand for the truth, you're going to get kicked out of church. He said, "Where in the world do you come up with this stuff?" Well, it's happened to Mom and I.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for chasing that woman that I was telling you about behind that door. And it wasn't for stealing money it's for this King James Bible. There's nothing like sitting, after you get expelled from a church as their pastor, sitting out and looking at this book and saying, "Man, what a book. what a word." All right. But anyway, we'll not go to deal with that one. All right. So you say, you mean Jesus got kicked out of church? You say, where do you get this stuff? How about Luke chapter 4? Luke chapter 4, right quick. If you stand for truth in our day, you're going to be maligned in every direction. Luke chapter 4, verse 28. Now, Jesus had really put him on the spot here. I'm telling you. He told him that no prophet is except in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows which were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Septa the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet. We're now about verse 27 of Luke 4. Then and none of them were cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. He was a Syrian. He was a Gentile. Now, they didn't care nothing about that, them Jews, when you mentioned the Gentiles. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And he passed through the midst of them and went his way. Got kicked out.
Yep.
You're going to be hated. I hate to tell you this. Not everybody's just going to roll out the red carpet everywhere you go and you preach. We go out on the street every day down at home. We've told you about that. And we hold up a little old sign out of part of a verse out of Hosea 10. For it is time to seek the Lord. Hold that sign up and hold the Bible up. Every once in a while, I'll quote some Bible verses. Not everybody that comes by has a smile. Just at the part of a verse, a part of a verse out of Hosea.
Yeah.
The little old kids sometimes, I see them in the back of the cars, and they'll come by, they watch all the way by. Sometimes, I have to admit, I ain't being false, whatever you want to call it, but sometimes my eyes are filled with tears when I see them little ones. Mm-hmm. Especially if their mom and dad's, done, oh my, but anyway, what a time, man. But anyhow, so you're not going to be exactly, the carpet's going to be rolled out for you. The red carpet, it's not. And it wasn't for Jesus. You say, well, what are you talking about today? I'm talking about the fellowship of his sufferings. You got to want to. Got to want to. They sought after Jesus to find him doing something constantly unlawful. He said, really? Yep. By the way, you're right there in Luke. Just go over to chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields. And his disciples plucked the ears of corn, did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto him, why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answered and said, You talk about drawing his sword out and just putting it completely to the hilt, right in their hearts. These are the religious crowd of that day that were ticklers with every little jot and tittle. And what did he say? Have you not read so much as this? I like that. I just love Jesus.
Yeah.
I do. He just puts man and me and you right in our place. Praise God. But anyway. All right. Have you not read so much as this? What David did when himself was an hungered and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take to eat and eat the showbread. Remember that over in the Old Testament? And gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. He said to them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Woo-wee. They're continually trying to find fault. Remember Daniel over in the book, chapter 6 of the book of Daniel? When he was made president over all everybody else, and those men could not stand that authority, and they got together and said, man, we've searched his books, we've done everything, we can't find anything wrong with this man. Ah, it's got to be something between him and his God. We'll do something there. So they made that law, and you know what happened? They made a law that nobody could ask anything or any pray to anybody but this to the king. No king just signed it. You know what happened? Daniel went right up there and prayed. But I was going to tell you, that's when he was delivered out of the lion's den. But listen, you're going to be hated and men are going to do everything they can to find fault with you. Because that's the fellowship of your suffering. See what I'm talking about? And then we're about done here. And I want to say this. We're going to have brethren that will discourage you and hurt you pretty bad. I'll tell you that. That's just the honest truth. Chapter 7 and verse 19. 7 and 19. And John called unto him two of his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, John the Baptist was waiting for his head to get chopped off. You do know that.
Yeah.
John had, John the Baptist here had told King Herod that the wife he had was wrong to have her, because his brother Philip's wife that he took. Things ain't changed, folks.
No.
All right. When the men were coming to him, he said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And now Jesus straightens it all out. Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt. You're going to get in despair sometimes. But one of the verses that have helped me through the years greatly, and I'll read this and I'm closing. In the book of Psalm 55. Boy, if you don't know Psalm 55, you better have it marked about. Psalm 55. You're going to get it. You say, well, I want to live for the Lord. Okay, you're going to get it in the neck. You say, well, I thought I'd have some good news. Well, it is good news, because you know what's coming. All right? Look at Psalm 55. All right. Let's start about verse 10. I'll read these verses down through here, a few of them, and I'll close. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. Sound like the United States, don't it? For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Now here he gets down to it. Now watch what he says here. And of course a prophecy or a picture of Jesus Christ coming. All right. What do you go through? For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that had hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from it. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick unto hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and amongst them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Who turned on him? His friends. Jesus Christ, you remember that the disciples all forsook him and fled. John made a loop and come back. Oh, John the Beloved. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Jesus said it would be better for that man if he'd never been born, talking about Judas. Wasn't that something? So, you're going to get all this. And more too. If you read your Bible, you're going to find a lot of sufferings that Jesus went through. And you're going to face them. You're going to face them. But Jesus said, Lo, I'm with you all, even to the end of the world. Thank God for that. He's going to not leave you. And the more you draw nigh to him, he said, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And, boy, what a picture that is. What a picture. So, if you're here today and you say, well, I've been trying to decide whether I'm just going to go 100% for the Lord or not, well, go. Do it. Just do it. Say, by the grace of God, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. Well, that's the first step. But I can tell you from reading this right here, consider the cost. It's high. Just to be honest with you, it's high. It'll cost you everything.
trip.
You said, man, I'll be out here begging on the street corner. That's what I'm talking about. But it cost everything, all to Him. I surrender. Lord, help me. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much. I pray, Lord, that I know it's scrambled here and there. I pray, God, that something said today from your book would help and encourage those that want to live for you. I want to, Lord. Help me, please. The Lord, when I'm facing things, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, not my will, thine be done. That's hard. But Lord, I want to do it. Help me to want to do it. I want to, Lord. I want to. I'm going to live for you. And Lord, these last few days and months, whatever you give ahead of us, Lord, want to finish well for your glory. Help me, Lord. Give me the stuff to do it with, and I know you will, and thank you. For each family here, Lord, today, I pray your blessings upon them. Help, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention. I know I was rambling, scrambling, but I hope you got something. Help you out. Lord, help. Thank God.